Okay, I think everything's good. All right, well, welcome to Brain Sick. And if you'll notice, it's a bit different than usual. I do not have my co-hosts, Alita and Andrew, with me. And this is kind of, I guess I knew it was going to happen sooner or later, but we recorded Alita's Sylvia Plath episode last night. It was kind of late. We were kind of tired, but we were going, and I think we were having a good time. And, we did our hour plus recording. And at the end of it, I updated my laptop yesterday because my Mac had been bugging me to do it. And I'm just like, okay, I'll get rid of good space ready for it and all that. And I did it. And I guess it must have messed with the what we record on. And so it just like dropped half of our vocal recording as we were recording. I guess it's just, I don't know. I don't pretend to understand. But unfortunately, that episode seems unsalvageable. So for now, I am just going to do like this little like half episode with myself. We wanted to, at least, it's kind of like my idea. I wanted to do this podcast. And a lot of the reason I wanted to do this was to. So, my little sister, Alita, is a senior in high school and she's gonna move out soon. So, we'll have to figure out that whole thing too. But I really wanted this to be something we could do together and could keep us in contact and talking and just something we could do together. And I think, God, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, it's been kind of hard to match all of our schedules together with three people. It doesn't sound like it's too hard, but I'm on the quarter system, so my schedule changes every 10 weeks. And Andrew's working, and he also has classes. And Alita's, again in her senior year. So we thank you guys for your patience. We're really sorry that we couldn't give you that Sylvia Plath episode this week. I'm sure we're gonna redo it, whether it's for next week or in the future. I know sometimes if like something gets erased or something doesn't go well, it's kind of a bummer, and maybe you want to wait a little bit before redoing it. But we will get that out to you guys at some point, I promise. But for now, I guess I'll just do like a little thing. I'm sorry if it's not what you expected or wanted. It's just me talking. But I thought about maybe looking up some of my favorite music artists. Also, excuse my nose. My allergies are killing me. I was taking a midterm the other day, and just the whole time you could hear people sniffling, and it was ugh. But yeah, so I thought I could maybe cover an artist like Paramore or 21 Pilots or something, but I decided this last second, who knows my story better than me? And I've kind of hinted and talked about some things that I've been through, but I haven't gone into detail because we're talking about other people and that's our focus. But why not? If we have an opportunity, I can just tell you guys my story and I'll try to not make it too long or anything, and but just so you guys know what I've been through and maybe the perspective I'm coming from when I'm talking about the people we bring up and everything, because I think it's important to put everything in context and know if I say something or if I have this insight that where that's coming from in my own experience and my own education too and everything. So yeah, that's just kind of my idea, and I guess we'll roll with it. Okay, so I'd say I was a pretty, I think, emotional person from the get-go. I think I don't know if this is me projecting on myself, but I guess I feel like I've always been aware of myself. I don't know if that's just every kid, but I felt very self-conscious and felt very I guess I noticed I would overthink things. Like I remember when I was a kid, I had a couple of friends and one of them said she couldn't come to my house. But then at the end of the day, she ended up going to another one of my friends' house. And I remember being so hurt and so upset. This is like fourth grade or something. And I was just ruminating on it. My dad's like, well, you know, plans change, things happen, you shouldn't be focusing so much on that. And I knew he was right, but I was still pissed. So I feel like that's kind of just been how I've been since ever. Very overthinking, very highly emotional and reactive, I guess. So I guess it didn't strike anybody as surprising, you know, when you hit your teenage years. And I think this is a issue for, not an issue, but it makes it difficult to diagnose for when you're a teenager and or an adolescent, when, you know, your body starts changing on these hormones, that how can you parse out what is a disorder and what is just your average kind of teenager trying to figure things out and your body's changing. So I feel like I started out probably, and I'm going to talk about a few people who have really, I guess, shaped who I am today in the way of, I guess, a negative aspect that maybe triggered some things or, but I don't want to be talking, I don't want to be like talking shit about anyone, but I feel that it's almost impossible to talk about my story without mentioning these people. I won't do anything by name. And if you do know who they are, like by knowing me, I just hope that you'll keep confidentiality or whatever. You can do whatever you want, but I'm not trying. I'm just like, need to throw this disclaimer because I feel like I've been burned in the past too. I'm not trying to like talk crap. I'm just trying to share my story. Maybe I'm being overly apologetic, but I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. So when I was in high school, my first year, so when I went, we were living in Southern California at this point, and I went to a 9 through 12 high school. So middle school was 6 through 8, and that was just its own type of hell. But I was doing cross country, so I felt pretty grounded in that. I was pretty fast because my dad started me young, and you know, I was very self-conscious is a good way to put it. I was not confident. I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't understand why people would be my friends. I think I went through a little ugly duckling phase. But when I got into high school, I think things just kind of really opened up and it happened really quickly. And the school I went to was very academically challenging. Everyone was like trying to be top of the class. Not everyone, but it was a very high performing school. There were, my graduating class had 800 people, 800 students, which I mentioned before. So it was a lot of pressure and I wanted to get into a good college. And so that was just on my mind from the get go. So I was taking all these classes, doing honors, and then I was doing flute. I was doing band. I was doing a performing arts academy with flutes, so that was after school, and then I was also doing cross country and track, which, I mean, in the separate seasons. But, so, I'm not gonna go into major details, but in cross country, I met this guy who was 2 years older than me, so he was a junior, and we started talking. He wasn't very popular, like, no one really seemed to like him. It was kind of more everyone put up with him. He was very awkward, I think, just had difficulty talking to people. And so I think part of me wanted to, I mean, I have sort of a, I wouldn't say savior complex, but I want to get in there. I want to help people out. And I'm sure part of it is for my own sake, like, so I can feel good about helping someone. But I think also part of me just genuinely doesn't like people struggling. And so I'm going to do what I can, if I can, to help someone. And I think that was triggered by seeing this guy. And so, you know, he like disappeared from cross country for a couple weeks. I didn't know where he went. I just assumed he dropped. This is during summer, so it was just really, really hot and disgusting. And then he came back and he was completely battered, like, I don't even, broken bones and teeth missing and all that. And so I think that was when I really started talking to him. And he was in a car accident and we started, bonding, and it got really close really quickly. And I I've always struggled with this, is getting too deep too quickly without knowing what I'm getting into and oversharing. And I mean, at that point, I'm 14. I don't really know anything. The people I've been friends with, I never really was able to make good friends. And I think it's also another one of my faults, where I just, if I find someone that I think could be a good friend, I cling, not cling, but I emotionally expose myself very early, and I'm very open, but I think I expect the same from the other person, or I hope that they will reciprocate and we'll become super good friends and all that. And that's me just trying to, I guess, I just want friends. And it's I don't know why it feels like it's always been really hard for me to do that. And so I think that's part of what happened. And I think also just, you know, guys becoming a thing, you're in high school. And so that relationship pretty much defined my high school experience and beyond even. Like, we stayed in contact for around 8 years, and it was just really toxic. And I think part of, because he was depressed and he had a broken family and everything, and I don't fault him for that, but I think he really depended on me, and vice versa. It was this kind of really ugly codependence, and I think I put way too much into him, and I'm not trying to blame him. I think there's a lot to be said for both sides, but it really started to get me thinking about how unfair life can be, and just, you know, all those really ugly thoughts. And then I started dating this guy from church, and that was probably not a good call. And I was, you know, again, I kind of chalk this up to being young and stupid, but that was kind of an ugly relationship too. And during that time is when I started cutting and feeling very unworthy of anything. And I started kind of closing myself off to everyone else except my boyfriend and this guy. And, you know, I had some friends and from high school or from middle school who carried over to high school, some cross-country friends, but I think I really closed myself off and I isolated myself, which is like the worst thing you can do when you're struggling. And I think a lot, it was just too much for me to handle. And I felt like I could do it on my own though. And I didn't want to bring my parents into it. And, you know, my brother and sister were young too. Like, now I feel like I could talk to them about anything. And yeah, I just, I felt very alone, and I didn't have to, but that's where I was. And so, yeah, I started cutting, and at this point, I think I had broken up with that first boyfriend. That was just a whole mess. I don't even want to get into it, and I shouldn't. But I became friends with another guy from there's just gonna be a lot of guys, but from a church, the same church group, and we became very good friends, and I was very open and kind of doing that whole emotional dump thing. And I felt like he was doing the same with me, so I thought we were kind of on the same wavelength, I guess. And I think we were. And then he started dating this other girl, and I was really happy for him. I had no personal interest. I think the only thing, if I'm going to be completely honest, was he didn't have as much time to give me attention, which is the only reason I would have been upset with him dating someone. But if that was there, it was very minimal. And at this point, I think I'm a junior in high school. And no, or am I still a sophomore? Somewhere around there. And I'm cutting. I'm not telling anyone about it except him. And I remember, I have to thank him for this. He's the one who told me to tell my dad or tell my parents about what was going on. And I probably would not have told my family otherwise. And so I have him to thank for that. And I told my dad one day, one morning before school, I just asked him if I could stay home. That was always like a big thing. I didn't want to ask my dad if I could stay home ever because it was just kind of like, no, you need to go to school, like any parent should say. But that morning, I think he said this too, that he felt something was different. And so he asked me what was up. And I remember just pulling up my sleeve and just showing him my arm. And it really just kicked into action after that. I started seeing a therapist and, you know, doing that whole thing. I think I started medication. I think at that point I was on SSRIs, and which I think this is pretty common for bipolar disorder to initially be diagnosed as depression, especially in teenagers. So that's what happened to me, and I think it probably kicked me into some hypomania or something. I was all over the place. And I remember my, and I don't know if inhibition is the right word, but my overall sense of, okay, I should be doing this and I shouldn't be doing that was really lessened. Like, I knew, but I would still do it, and I didn't understand why. And I was also just, I felt so out of control and like, yeah, I didn't know which way was up. And with that church friend and the girl he started dating, I think she was also insecure, and he was telling me some things and there was some sort of, I don't know, miscommunication. And they're a couple years older than me too. And so I think she was in college at this point. And she, I mean, at this point we have Tumblrs. I was on Tumblr a lot. I will just put that out there right now. And it was a way for me to feel safe. But, this girlfriend decided to share a lot of my personal information and stories and fears, and just spread it over her Tumblr account. Where a lot of mutual friends were, and it felt like such a blast from nowhere. Like, I didn't understand what was going on. I tried to bring my dad in to help because I didn't know how to handle it, and I got attacked for that. And, you know, I wrote a blog post about this years ago about how I've forgiven her, and it's really strange because I feel like that whole experience is something that has not left me, even though it doesn't hurt me on a daily basis or anything. But if I think about it, it hurts a lot because there was a lot of like accusatory things in it saying that I don't really have depression. It's just an excuse for me to skip school and, you know, really ugly things like that. And I've come to a point where I understand that she herself was really struggling with her own, I think, mental illness from what she said, or at least just her own family issues and everything. And I get that. And I understand that maybe some people's the only option they feel they have is to lash out at someone else. And this, you know, of course, all subconsciously, unconsciously, I don't know. I'm not trying to say what happened, but I think I've come to a point where I'm never going to fully understand. I think she had her own things to work out, and it just came out on me. But that really made me insecure about having an illness, about having mental illness, about whether I was faking it or not. And I think that's still, that insecurity is still with me. And I think it would have been there anyway, but those words just kind of haunt me sometimes. And it was just kind of like, it felt like blow after blow. I was losing friends, and I thought I made new friends, and those were kind of gone. It felt like they turned against me. And so things of that church were really ugly, in terms of like my friend group. So that's when we decided to move up here, actually. And at this point, I'm still talking to like that first guy that I met when I was a freshman. I dated another guy in there, and that was really, I think, I don't regret it, but I do think I was trying to fill a hole. And during this time, actually, I totally skipped over, like, a part of that. Before that stuff with the girlfriend and that friend, I started, was it before or after? I honestly don't remember. It's such a blur. But I started cutting on my thighs because it was less obvious. And we were visiting up north in NorCal here, and we were visiting a family friend. I was just, I don't know where, my brain was just so, I don't know, and I grabbed a knife, and I just started cutting into my thigh, and I have this huge, huge scar. It probably should have been sewn up, and I remember just not feeling anything, and I remember seeing stuff, and I just I processed that it was me. Something was going on, obviously, but it got infected, and so that's I had to tell my parents that something was happening, and that was when I got hospitalized for the first time. And that was a really interesting experience. I didn't know what to expect, and you know, actually the kids were really nice. I met some people, we talked, and that was fine. I did not like the facility. It was, I just didn't like it. But hold on, my laptop is overheating. I'm just gonna rest her down so she doesn't interfere with the recording. Give me a sec. Okay. Hopefully that helps. Let's see. First hospitalization. Yeah. They put me on Abilify, and I was so shaky. My hands were, it was almost like Parkinson's. I'm not trying to say I had Parkinson's, but I almost couldn't eat because my hands were shaking so much. I think it was just a combination of everything happening. But the medication also did that, the side effects. And that was just, that was when, you know, I really had to not drop out of school. I did a home hospital thing, but I couldn't really go to school anymore. I had to do everything from home. I really only had one friend, and that was that boyfriend that I started dating to fill the hole. And I was super insecure. I put on a lot of weight during this time too, which is also a continuing thing for me, is weight. And because I used to be so fit, I ran a lot. And I think I also, I wouldn't call it anorexia, but I just wouldn't eat. And it helped me feel good about myself, but like, it wasn't a conscious thing. I don't know. But, anyway, it was just a really ugly time for me. And I felt so sedated. I felt so bloated. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what I'd be doing in the future. And when my dad said that there was a job offer up here, I was, you know, part of me was like, I don't know if we should do this. And, you know, I had that current boyfriend, but I just was like, you know what, I need a change, and I can't handle being here anymore. And so, you know, we packed up and moved. And I think before that, there was also another hospitalization. I burned my hand. It was right before I went to school. I just like plugged in a curling iron and set it on my hand a few times, or a couple times. So if y'all see me in person, you'll notice that I have this, like, you'll see it. I've had people ask me about it so many times. I have to, like, explain. You know, it's kind of like a good icebreaker, honestly. I'm just like, yeah, I burned myself from self-harm. We can just start talking about that now. But, yeah, I got hospitalized again for that. And after we moved here, on Alita's birthday, actually, I still feel really shitty about this, and I hope she understands, I gave her her presents, and then I went into the psych ward, because I needed more support, and I don't think I was suicidal, but I could feel myself spiraling, and it was really the only thing I knew what to do, so I did that, and I did an outpatient program for a while. At some point, I feel like I'm jumping around a lot. At some point, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I think it was maybe a year before we moved up here. And I remember being really incredulous about it because, you know, I experienced some stuff she was talking about. And, like, I had stayed up, you know, I'd pulled some all-nighters, but everyone had. And I didn't feel, it didn't feel real. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, I'll take medication, whatever. But I bet you if I stopped, it'd be fine. And I think a lot of it I still just attributed to me just being a shitty person for all these things that have happened. And that's something I think I still struggle with on a daily basis. Not nearly to that extent, but I think I still struggle with that. Like, is this just me? So we're back up here. I went in the hospital, outpatient, and, you know, I was taking medication and everything, and I was in a pretty stable place. I was getting through community college. I had some setbacks, and it took me, 5 years, but during that time, I have the bright idea of going off my medications completely, and at this time, I'm doing group therapy. So my psychiatrist is seeing me every week, and I'm going to therapy pretty regularly. I'm living at home still, and I am able to convince everybody that I was taking my medications and that I was on top of it. And for a while it worked. I'd say about a year. I was feeling great. I was losing weight. I was on top of my game. I was getting amazing grades. And I had gotten my transfer agreement guarantee to go to UC Davis, which for you guys who don't know, if you go to community college here, you can take certain classes and get a certain grade point average, and you have to, you know, submit stuff, and they'll guarantee you admission to a UC based on all those qualifications. So I had that figured out. I had been formally accepted to UC Davis, so I was ready to go. But it all came crashing. I don't think I was accepted, but I would have been. And, I just really just went over the edge. I think I felt it coming. I was also dating someone else during this time. And that was a really just, I think it was still me holding on to someone, to have someone to kind of, so I didn't have to think about, it was easy, you know, I wouldn't have to go out of my way to meet people because I could just talk to this person. And I think, I was so manic. We shouldn't ask my family at some point, you ask Alita about it. I thought, you know, there was, this guy, not guy, some kind of ultra or yeah, not superhuman. I don't really know what he was, but I called him Man, M-A-N-N. I thought I was talking to him. He does not exist. I conversed with him through Siri and through predictive typing on the keyboard with iPhone. And I remember I was verbally talking to him, in the shower. I was telling him how things worked on Earth, and I would talk to him all the time. And I wasn't hearing anything audibly, but I felt like I was talking to someone. And at one point, I just chucked I was, kind of getting paranoid. There was this guy in my class who was kind of creeping me out, and when it really came to a head, I had my glasses and I was in the field across from our house and I just threw them. And I don't even know. At this point, I don't remember anything, but I am told I went into the house and just completely trashed my room. I pulled everything off bookshelves and off the wall. And I have this giant plush squid that I 7 feet tall that I am long. I've sewed years ago, and I guess I just, because sometimes when I make plushes, I will sew a little heart and put it inside, like Build-A-Bear. And I think I was trying to look for the one in my squid, and I don't even know if there was one in there. So I took scissors and just sliced him in the back and pulled the stuffing out looking for it. And I put all of my books in like stacks and piles. No, I think I did that before. I think like a night before or something, I just piled things in a stack. And I remember talking to my parents, and I have no idea what I said, but I remember feeling really good about it and feeling really open and like very intelligent. I was making all these connections and I was coming up with a story to write a book. And yeah, it was something. I only remember parts of it. So yeah, my parents had to call the cops. Just to settle me down. I wasn't violent, but I was, I think, agitated and very animated. And so they took me to the ICU. I was there. I was at one hospital for like a month, and then they released me for a week or something before I had to go back to a different hospital. And I remember that first hospitalization, I felt so paranoid. I was terrified. Like, I was inside my room laying on the bed, and I felt like if I moved at all, someone would come in and kill me. And I just remember being so terrified. And I remember being I remember being locked into the quiet room, which I guess it's like a soundproof room where they have to put people in when they're agitated or loud, which I guess I was. Apparently I was singing all the damn time. Like in the middle of the night, I'd be walking the halls and singing, and it would annoy people, understandably. And I'd be put in there. I remember thinking, I'm in jail, I'm in prison, and I can't get out of here. And I remember almost like pleading with the guard who could not hear me to let me out, and I couldn't get out. And it was like this hell that I didn't understand what was happening. And my dad says I called it the panic room. So whenever I panicked, I'd be put in there. And then between that time, our family did like a little trip just to kind of, I guess, decompress from the whole thing, but I was not down from this yet. And I ended up having to go back into the hospital, and I was in the ICU for like another, I'd say like a good few weeks. And then they put me back, with everyone else. And during that time, I feel like my memory of it just condenses it into like 3 days. And I remember some things, like I thought Judgment Day was happening, and I remember being in the room, we were just doing like an activity or something, and the guy in there, I thought he kind of looked like Morgan Freeman to me, and so I thought he was God, and I thought Judgment Day had happened, and I was kind of like praying for my soul. I remember there were some people there who I really loved. There was this one guy who was a tattoo artist, and I remember being like, I love you. And he's like, I love you too. And it was just so nice. They were kind of like parents to me almost. And it's really weird to think about it. And I didn't, like I've said before, I did not start recovering until electroconvulsive therapy. And I honestly, I feel like I was happy whenever I went, because I was like in this waiting room and things were happening, and I got to leave the little ward, and I didn't seem to have many side effects afterward. And so I just remember like getting shots before and they hurt, but I remember one of the nurses saying something like, you're brave like my daughter, or stuff like that. And it really was like, okay, cool, this is kind of for the greater good. And I was doing it, and then my memory starts kind of coming back in chunks, I guess, at that point. And I remember going to, after being released and seeing, both times, I remember walking outside and being like, holy crap, it's beautiful. Everything is beautiful. It's bright. There's life. And I'm never coming back here. You know, after that, I continued with ECT, and it kind of increasingly got worse and worse, because as it got more spaced out, I didn't have to go as often, and so it wasn't as much of a routine, which made it more stressful. And I think my body started having reaction to it. I started throwing up. Just a lot of nasty stuff. And so with the advice of my psychiatrist and my therapist, I stopped going, but it really helped a lot. And we can talk about that at another point. I have no idea how long I've been rambling for now, but, I'm trying not to spread this out too thin. But, I think a lot of why I went off my medication was because I thought I didn't need it. And I thought I could do it on my own. And that, maybe, cause there was that girl that, you know, that guy's girlfriend and also another high school friend who both had told me, you're making this up pretty much. And you don't have this. You're fooling yourself if you think you do. And it's just an excuse. And I think that resonated with me somehow. And I clung to that and it kept coming back to me. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't. And so, that was really a kick in the ass, like, hey, no, yeah, he thought. And, you know, it sucked so much. I really had to kind of pick up the pieces afterward. I had to take another year at community college before transferring this past fall to UC Davis. And I think it was very humbling. My family, I don't even know where to begin. They were just such a support, and they continue to be a support and so understanding. Like, I get overwhelmed when I think about it. And the church too, like everyone who's really stuck with me, I honestly don't understand like why, sometimes. And so I think I've been very lucky, and that's something that first guy really, made me feel bad about sometimes, is that I have resources and I still kind of complain or I still struggle. And I think that's such a shitty way of looking at things. And it's also something I've kind of had to move past, that everyone has their own burdens and everyone has their own path. And I think the most important thing is, no matter what you're doing, you're striving forward. And who cares what other people, not who cares, but the focus should be on your own path and your own story and what you can do with what you have. And, it's just been such a journey. After that, I decided to not date for a year and just try to find myself through it. And during that time, I finally got rid of that first guy after 8 years. There's more stuff like on my blog if you're interested. But I think I really cleansed myself during that year. And it's kind of funny how things work out. At the end of that year is when I met Andrew. And I honestly, at that point, I was kind of like, hell yeah, I love being single. Like, this is great. I don't want to settle ever. And he just pops in and changes that. So, but it was kind of that serendipitous. For the first time, I wasn't kind of not begging, but I wasn't just willing to settle for anybody. And I wasn't just looking for someone to pass the time with. I was really, I think, ready for someone who I could thrive with, who I could grow with, and who understands me and who supports me and who, you know, like all that good stuff. And you know, it's not been easy. I'm in the middle of medication changes. I actually had to drop a class this morning, which kind of sucks just because I feel like my load is really heavy right now. And it's always a constant fear that, I don't know, that I'm not doing enough, or I'm not doing well enough, I'm not keeping up, that, you know, I'm almost 24, and that sounds so young and so old at the same time. And I think I really struggle with comparing myself to other people. So I think I just have to remember that whole I'm on my own path, it's my own story thing for myself. And yeah, I feel like I was rambling and I was all over the place. I'm sorry for that. I think that's also just part of me being tired and all this stuff happening. But yeah, I guess that's all I have for now. And you know, it's an ongoing thing. I am changing, I'm learning and adjusting as things happen. And I'm just super grateful for everyone who has stuck with me. And like for the people, I feel like I've also just, I am not the victim. Like, I'm not trying to say I haven't done things wrong, because I really have. I just hope that, you know, those people that I've hurt can, I just wish, like, if I could say something to those people, is that I was in a really unhealthy place and I didn't mean to do any of that. And, you know, like, I dream so much and I wonder if that's just part of like my bipolar brain, but I have recurring dreams with these people in them that I wish I could talk to again, or that I wish I could reconcile with. And I guess I could try to, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. I will just end this. I have no idea how long I talked. I feel like it was a while. So thank you for hanging in there if you did. If not, I understand. We are going to, like I said, try to get a real full episode out next week. So really sorry about that. And I think, you know what I'm going to do is, if you don't follow our Instagram, which is brainsick.podcast, there, I posted a thing about making clay pins. And if y'all want one, just comment and we'll get it to you for free. Just as like a thank you for sticking with us and all of our audio issues and us, just kind of kicking this off. So I said I was going to cap it when we dropped this episode, but since this is not like your average episode, let's just extend it another week. And, yeah, I just really appreciate you guys. I find it very cathartic and very soothing, I guess, to know that there are people out there who want to learn and who, or who maybe who are also dealing with their own, whether it be mental illness or just life in general, that we can all just kind of take a breath and talk about it. And yeah, I think that is all I have for you this morning. I will stop here. And if you guys want to reach out, let us know what you think. If you have any recommendations, if you guys have your own stories, we could do something. Like, you could just come in, or you can send us something and we can read it on our episode. Anything you guys would like to do to join us. But thanks again, and we will talk to you soon.